In the next lesson, we will begin discussing numerical methods that are useful for stochastic equations. A stochastic equation is an equation in which there is noise, and noise is a random variable. So I want to review here some basic results that we will use in the next lessons. Let's first compute the moment-generating function for a Gaussian distribution. So let's consider an ordinary Gaussian distribution with zero mean and sigma square variance, which we all know P of x is 1 over square root of 2 pi sigma, the exponential of minus x squared divided by 2 sigma squared. And we compute what is called the moment generating function. So we compute the average value of the exponential of itx, where t is a variable that we consider typically as a real variable, but we can also consider as a complex variable. Both things are acceptable. Why is the moment generating function important? Because if we know the function, this average value, as a function of t, we know exactly the probability distribution, and it is trivial how to obtain the probability distribution from the moment generating function, as is defined here. It's just a question of performing an anti-Fourier transform. So if we compute this average value as a function of t, we perform an anti-Fourier transform of the moment generating function, and we obtain the probability distribution we started from. So if we know the moment generating function, we know exactly the probability distribution. So we want to compute the moment generating function for a Gaussian distribution. So the idea is to perform a change of variable. So we introduce a new variable y, which is 1 over square root of 2 sigma multiplied x minus b. So let's see how the exponential determine the exponential changes. So we perform the substitution and we obtain minus y squared. And this is the reason why we introduce the prefactor 1 divided by square root of 2 times sigma to have simply minus y squared. Then we have a term which is linear in y, and then a term which is independent of y. Up to now, we have not specified what b is. So b is generic up to now. And now we fix b so that the linear term in y is 0. So we fix b so that b divided by sigma minus it sigma is 0. And this gives you b equal it sigma squared. And if we use this value of b, the linear term in y cancels, of course, by definition, and we can simplify the constant so that we obtain minus y squared minus t squared over 2 times sigma squared. So the integral becomes an integral over e minus y squared times a constant, and the constant are square root of 2 sigma, and the exponential of minus t squared sigma squared divided by 2. In principle, one should be careful that if we do this change of variables, b is a pure imaginary number. And so there is also a shift. So the change of variable implies a shift in the complex plane. This is something that I'm sure you have already seen in the past the basic courses in complex analysis. I don't want to discuss it here. And it's trivial to verify that we can shift then the integration on the real line so that y can be integrated on the real line between minus infinity and plus infinity. Thus, the integral over y is the standard Gaussian integral, which is square root of pi. And thus, we obtain the moment generating function for a Gaussian distribution, which is the exponential of minus t squared sigma squared divided by 2. It's important to remember that there is a one-to-one correspondence between probability distributions and moment-generating functions. Thus, if we have a system, a probability, whose moment-generating function is an exponential or minus some constant times t squared, we know for sure that that probability distribution is a Gaussian distribution, and the constant allows you to compute the variance of the system. So now let's go to page 2, and assume now that we have n variables, independent variables x1 and xn. Each of these variables is a Gaussian with zero mean and with variance sigma square I. So the mean is always zero. These variables have always zero variance, zero mean, but they have different variances. So the variance is parameterized by the index I. We are interested in computing the probability distribution of the sum of these variables. And how do we compute it? We simply compute the moment generating function for this variable. So we compute the average value of the exponential of I t x, capital X, where again t is a free parameter as before. So now we compute this average value, so we integrate over dx1, dxn with the probability distribution, which are Gaussian distributions. But now everything is simple, because the exponential of it, capital X, can be factorized in the exponential of itx1, itx2, itx3, itxn. The probabilities are factorized, so we obtain that the moment generating function of it, capital X, is the product of the moment generating function for the first variable, second variable, third variable, fourth variable, and so on. This is a generic result for the sum of any variable. The moment generating function of the sum is the product of the moment generating functions of each single variable. Now we use the results of the previous page so that we replace each moment generating function with its expression. And then again, we put everything together because the product of the exponentials is the exponential of the sum of the exponents. And so we get that this is the exponential of minus t squared, capital sigma squared divided by 2, where capital sigma squared is the sum of the variances of the original variables. So what we obtain is that the sum of Gaussian variables is also a Gaussian variable with zero mean, and that its variance sigma square is equal to the sum of the variances of the original variable. So this is our definition, our result for the sum of Gaussian variables. Now let's introduce the third concept that we are interested in, is the noise. Because in our study of a stochastic equation, we only consider the simplest case in which the noise is Gaussian and uncorrelated. Formally, we will say that the noise is the exponential of minus 1/2 times the integral of dt eta t square, and eta is the noise. So now we want to give a meaning to this definition. So what we do, suppose that we discretize the integral with time step epsilon. This is something which should be done very carefully, and we will see that in stochastic equations discretizing integrals over the noise is not permitted. But in this very specific case, this is something that gives the correct result. But this should be done with care. So this is a particular case in which discretization works. But in the next lesson, we will see that discretization does not work within stochastic equations. Anyway, so we discretize. So the integral becomes a sum. But of course, we should also multiply by the time step. So we have now a collection of variables at time corresponding to times ti, and everything is multiplied by minus epsilon divided by 2. So now the noise is a collection of uncorrelated Gaussian variables with zero mean and variance 1 over epsilon. So note that the variance diverges as epsilon goes to 0. The quantity that we are really interested to compute are correlations of the noise. So we want to compute the two-point function gt minus s, which is the average value of eta t times eta s. We will see that this function is a distribution, so we consider the integral over dt ft of gt s. So it's defined as the integral of dt ft, the average value of eta t eta s. Now we discretize the integral, and so we get that the integral can be replaced as the sum over I epsilon fti times the average value of eta ti eta s. But now we know from the previous expression, this is a collection of uncorrelated Gaussian distributions. So if s is different from ti, the two average values factorizes, and since we have here a Gaussian variable with zero mean, then the average value is zero. Instead, if s is equal to ti, then we already computed this is the variance, and it's equal to 1 over epsilon. So we obtain the expression which is written before, sum over I of epsilon f of ti, delta of s minus ti. Note that this is a Kronecker delta, so it gives zero if s is different from ti, and it gives one if s is equal to ti, times 1 over epsilon. Epsilon and 1 over epsilon cancel, then we use the Kronecker delta to replace ti with s. And so we obtain f of s. So the integral over dt of ft gt minus s is f of s. And this implies that gt minus s is the delta function. Now this is the real delta function, t minus s. So this is the meaning of the noise. When we say that we have a noise and that the noise is a Gaussian uncorrelated distribution, we must be aware that what we are really saying is that the correlation function of the noise is given by the delta function. So this is somewhat different from what we would expect from a Gaussian distribution, in the sense that when t equals s, the result is infinite. But it's not infinite in an arbitrary way, it's a delta function, so it's a distribution. So this is the meaning of Gaussian uncorrelated noise. A collection of variables eta t such that their two-point function, so the average value of eta t eta s, is the delta function of t minus s.